Hey everyone, good morning and happy Tuesday, April 30th, last day of this tax month, thankfully, behind us. Tomorrow we start May. Springtime, May, I mean, nothing says springtime like May. May's warm, almost summer even, but just nice good weather. So I'm looking forward to that. We got some fun
this tax season really seemed to make an impact on you, Matt. You've been talking about it a lot recently.
Taxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I did, because I got some money back. I actually got a nice direct deposit in my account this weekend.
No, and, good.
It was really a nice, pleasant experience. I don't know why. Just things I don't know what to talk about. But anyway, as I was saying, we got the vegan cheese scandal. This is a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. It's in the Washington Post. Long expose, maybe not an expose, but a long story about a vegan cheese that won a contest among all the other cheeses, including the many non-plant-based versions, only to be disqualified later under some fishy circumstances. So we'll talk about that as well as a new Oatly gem that I've uncovered today. I mean, I don't know what's the bet. I don't want to spoil it. We'll get to that in a minute. But you can probably guess what the theme is. Anyway, Doug, we're both a little sick today. How are you holding up now?
I'm doing all right. My energy is back, which is good. I sound a little funky and I've been coughing a bit. So if I cough, I apologize. And if I sound a little funny, I have a cough drop in my mouth to help help prevent the cough. So
that might actually be making you sound funny. I mean, I can't tell anything except I can hear that you have a cough drop.
Yeah. You know, it may or may not be a coincidence. I mean, I know it's not a coincidence. My family had colds before I got it. It was going around the house, but Saturday I ate way more vegan meat than I have in a long time. And then I woke up Sunday sick. So it's possible there's some sort of causation or just correlation. I'm not sure, but.
Hey, who knows? I mean, I doubt the stuff made you sick, but it's possible that eating too much of that junk food puts extra demands on your body, doesn't give it the nutrients it needs to fight things. And you become, you're vulnerable to illness, like after running an ultra marathon, for example. So
yeah.
I actually had similar circumstances that made me sick. I went to this thing on Friday. It was a party up in New Jersey, which I almost spoiled a surprise. It was a surprise 75th birthday party. Months of planning went into it to invite all these people. We came from it was in New Jersey and we were coming from South Carolina. That's how big this party was. And I said it on the show, and the woman whose birthday it was listens to the show often. Pops in. Yeah.
No way.
So I still don't know for sure that I didn't spoil it. She looked like she was very surprised and she said she was. But she told me that she saw the Instagram thing that we put out that morning, the story, and just didn't click it that day. Hopefully she really didn't, but I was actually scared for like 24 hours. I was thinking, man, I might have blown this thing.
Do you think is she the type of person who would tell you if you had spoiled the surprise or not? Or
I don't really know. I just, because so much planning went into it, I kind of think she wouldn't say anything to anyone ever, maybe because of her, you know, her husband spent so much work on this. Yeah, so that was a little scary. But anyway, I went to that party and we came home from New Jersey the very next morning. So it was like less than 24-hour flight. And we were out late and drinking wine and stuff. So I slept 4 hours or something. Woke up to my dad. My dog had eaten the other dog's medicine at like 6:20. Oh, no. He called us. So when I was getting in bed at whatever it was, 1:30 or 2, I was like, okay, well, I have at least till 7 before the flight. And then phone call comes at 6:20. And we're talking to the poison control and all this stuff at that hour. Yeah, and still feeling the wine from the night before. So it was rough. And then I got sick after that. So I'm not really surprised that I got sick, being susceptible like that, not sleeping, and hugging all those people and everything. So anyway, feeling better now, though. But it's been basically almost a whole year since I was sick before. And that was the big one where I got into the Zelda to kind of pass the time. And I did not do that this time. I resisted the urge to say, well, I'm just on the couch all day. I might as well play some Nintendo Switch. But I didn't do that.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it as we were debating whether to do this this show today. Here we go. I was thinking there were several episodes, you know, in the first year or so where I was doing exactly this, had the cough drop in my mouth, having trouble talking. Mm-hmm. We haven't had that in a while. So knock on wood, we've been healthy. It's good.
Yeah. I think I told you then not to do the show with the cough drop in your mouth. I might have said it's better just do it with a scratchy voice.
It's not the voice. It's the fact that I can't get through a sentence without coughing.
Oh, you literally won't even be able to talk without a cough drop in your mouth?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm not a big cough drop guy. Maybe that'll surprise people. I don't like wear sunglasses. There we go. And I don't really eat cough drops. I believe they're generally a false thing. It doesn't actually do anything. Just the candy sold to you by the doctors, by the medical association, under the guise of a medicine.
Well, I do like candy, so.
All right, good.
We went to a four-year-old's birthday party, and they grilled a whole bunch of meat, but had a bunch of Beyond sausages that I was not the only one eating, which was nice. They probably cooked 20 of them, and there were maybe like three of us, four of us who were eating them. So I had my fair share. I had several of them, and it was very good. I had three, I think. Yeah.
Oh my God, did you feel terrible?
No, I felt fantastic until the next morning. I had gone on a long run that day, and I was really hungry. I kind of didn't get an opportunity to eat much before this party. So I came in from the long run feeling quite hungry and just went to town on those things. It was very good. No regrets.
Wow. That's impressive. I don't think I've ever had more than one of those because they're very greasy and filling, and I'm always like, well, that's episode three. Wow. Good job, I guess. But not surprised you're sick. That's probably why. Now I revise it. I think that caused the sickness. All right. Well, let's get to our show today. We do have some fun stuff. Interesting weather report. A couple of things that are actually positive. I called the bottom, I think, on Thursday. I said this is as low as we get in this plant-based diet world with people hating on it all the time. And there happened to be two bits of good news today, so we'll see if this is the beginning of change. If I was correct about that, but who knows? All right, here we go. The big one is that a new study, yet another one, has shattered the paleo diet myth, which for some reason persists despite these things keep coming out. And they found that hunter gatherers ate more vegetables than meat. That sounds like a very very general statement to make. When it was really just one place, a cave in Morocco inhabited 15,000 years ago, revealed that the Stone Age diet unequivocally had a plant-based aspect, says the words of the article that I found. So I don't know if that really shatters the myth of the paleo diet and means that hunter-gatherers ate more vegetables than meat, but that is what a lot of people have suggested, that that is actually what happened. They should be called gatherer-hunters because they probably dependably ate lots of gathered things, and then when the opportunity arose, they would eat meat, you know, as whenever they could get it. But it might not be that often. Anyway, what they found was acorns, pine nuts, and wild pulses made up a significant part of the diet of this prehistoric community. And this is isotopic analysis of the remains allows them to figure out where they got their food. They said zinc, strontium, carbon, nitrogen, sulfur, all these things. Somehow that composition reveals what the people ate. So I guess if you wanted to trick a lot of people, you could just say whatever you wanted and, you know, cite these nutrient mineral compositions as like pointing
to certain foods. What if they just took supplements?
They could have. Maybe they were early first complementers. Who knows? And they said 80% of the food eaten by these people was plants. That's what they're saying. So yeah, I mean, this is cool. They did. One person said, I would not say that the population was mainly vegetarian, as meat was still consumed, but it was not the main dietary resource for protein. So I think that's kind of what we all want to hear. Well, maybe not. Maybe some people want to hear that humans are not meant to eat meat and we're meant to be vegan or vegetarian. But I don't personally believe that. Do believe from you know, things I've heard before and more studies like this, that this is probably how we eat. The plants first, the meat second, but we did eat all of it.
Would you say acorns? What were the other foods? Having trouble finding
acorns, it. Pine nuts, Beyond sausages, and wild pulp was what they mainly ate.
Wild pulp?
Pulses. I think pulses are kind of like legumes, right? Maybe a broader category than legumes.
I guess I would have thought like greens were a bigger part of their diet. You know, just greens? Like different leaves, like, yeah, just like different plants that you can.
Yeah, maybe because they'd be low in calories, that would never be something that was like that prized. I don't know.
Berries, you think of like berries and things like that. Fruits.
And those things would also have a bitter flavor, right? Like, so like, I think that bitter flavor was originally meant to keep people away, which makes you wonder, why are they healthy now? Why do we want to eat those things now? A pulse is the edible seed from a legume plant. So apparently the legume can include like the stems and the pods and things, but pulse is just the seed inside of the you know, the bean part of the legume. So
but you don't, they were, I mean, you don't, what legumes grow in the wild?
I was just thinking, what legumes can you eat fresh like that? Because a lot of those things you have to cook to make them good. But I know, like, you know, I think fava beans, I think. I don't know if they can be eaten. I think they can be eaten fresh. Peas, right? Like but, you know, those kind of peas that come in the big pods. I think those things are edible from the beginning. So, anyway, they may do.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I don't know. I mean, it's just a further insight into what our ancestors ate. Again, I'm not one to really care much about what our ancestors ate.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter too much. Like, what matters, and I say this all the time, is the long-term, the data, the empirical studies, the theory about what we should eat really doesn't matter that much if the science says what this certain way works, whatever this certain way might be. But you kind of do need both. Like, I realized you should have both of those pieces, like, as far as good science goes. Like, you want that empirical evidence. You also want some the mechanisms or the theoretical stuff to kind of support it or underpin it. And that's, it's good to see this for me, because I think, you know, you do have, I heard that voice in my head sometimes, like, well, a lot of data shows a plant-based diet is very good, but, like, isn't it natural for us to eat meat? And you see some of this stuff, and, like, I guess this would still argue that, yes, it is natural to eat some meat, but it makes it seem kind of silly to do the carnivore thing or anything like that.
Definitely.
All right. Speaking of nomadic hunters and gatherers, from a totally different source, this one from Morning Brew, they started off by saying shoppers these days increasingly resemble nomadic hunters and gatherers roaming the land in pursuit of affordable food stuff. There's another tie-in later on too, from between two articles. They point out the grocery prices are up 21% over the past 3 years. That is a big increase. And I would say that sounds right. Like, I feel that when I go shopping. I can just tell that we are paying a lot more for the groceries, you know, down to the item. It just seems more expensive than it used to be. Average American bought food at 20.7 stores in this year. That's more than we even go to in a typical week. We might hit two or three. 20, quite the
job. Wait, 20 different grocery stores?
I don't understand. In the year, though. Not in 1 week. But in the course of a year, they visited 20.7 stores. I think that's...
I'm nowhere near that. There's no way that... What?
Well, think about all the times you've traveled, which maybe isn't that much. I don't know. But, like, you usually go...
I mean, okay, travel, sure. Like, a convenience store, if I'm picking up a bag of nuts or something like that?
I don't really know that. It's a good question. It just says bought food at 20.7 stores. So, yeah, it probably does count all that. But anyway, that's up from 16.8 in the period before that. And couponing is back. Doug, are you clipping coupons again yet?
We're doing kind of quit. Wasn't saving much money and way more hassle, but we were trying to buy different foods at different stores as we searched around what was the cheapest option, you know, where to get our beans, where to get our whatever. And so we were going to multiple stores and, I mean, not coupon shopping, but similar. I mean, kind of chasing the discounts.
Yeah, and I, inspired by that conversation, we did the exact same thing and kind of looked at the different stores that have different things cheaper. It didn't really lead to many big changes in our shopping, I don't think, but we did try. So anyway, that is happening, and they are saying, so people are couponing twice as much as before. 2/3 of people say they rely on coupons. That's hard to believe. I don't know if they're talking about traditional cut them out, or if it's like, I'll use coupons when it's like those ones that are there in the store stuck to the package and says, here, use this as a register. Those I use, or Amazon when it says, click this button to apply the coupon. I do that. But I can't imagine getting this Sunday, you know, bundle of papers and cutting that thing up and all that, but who knows?
Yeah. I don't know if that's how it works anymore. I think there's apps now that you like look at.
Right. Probably is apps.
Coupon apps. You know, I pretty much always buy whatever's on sale. Like, if I'm looking at different types of beans or whatever, you know, I'm not loyal to a brand. If I'm looking for chickpeas, I'll look at whichever one's on sale and buy those for sure.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Or even get a different product if it's like something that's half price. Like, if I'm going to the vegan meat section to get whatever, mostly for the kids, I might plan to get one thing. But if something else is half price that weekend, which often it is, those like they try to, the guy had some frozen falafel this weekend, so not really a plant meat, but I got those at a great deal and they actually were fantastic. So I will definitely shift courses as the prices present themselves. All right. This is another funny one from Morning Brew as well. Today is Dollar Dog Night at Citi Field, and they partnered with 97-year-old Seymour Wiener to promote the event. Dollar hot dogs, not that much of interest to us, and probably, I doubt there's a plant-based option. But Seymour Wiener, that's just too good of a name to not include in the story. And he says he was bullied as a kid in the younger days, or at least made fun of, maybe not bullied, maybe modern terms bullied, but not in the old days, it wasn't called that. And he's really excited. Says one of the highlights of his life to be able to do this now.
So there's a little more to this story. I happen to follow it a little bit. So okay. Like a month ago, maybe, or opening day, it was they were honoring World War II vets, and they honored Seymour Wiener and showed him up on the screen, and he waved or anything like that. And everyone thought it was like a joke, that there's no way that's what his actual name was. So now it is in fact his name, and that whole thing went viral. Like honoring him as a vet went viral. And so, so they're bringing him back to celebrate Dollar Dog Night, which I think is so good. I think for the Mets to lean into this and for him to play along, I think it's great.
Yeah, me too. That's fantastic. I just figured it was some marketing intern got an idea and said, let's look up Wiener names in the phone book and see who is there. And then they found a Seymour, and that made it even better. But no, I guess they just found a different way, found them organically. So very good. all right, that one actually ties in later because one of the villains in our later story is also named Wiener. all right, and the last bit of good news that I have today, well, there's not, you can consider the next one good news too, but as far as pro plant-based diet health reasons or health news, current and former smokers might lower their risk for emphysema if they adopt a highly nutritional plant-based diet. They said those with a history of smoking, this is a new study, had a 56% lower risk of developing emphysema compared to those who ate more meat. And the more fruits and veggies they included in their diet, the lower their risk of emphysema. So it doesn't probably mean you need to be all the way plant-based. And it means that just being plant-based, eating a bunch of junk food isn't as good as eating actual good plant-based food. So they looked at 1,700 people and a 20-year study, all current former smokers. And that's where they got this stat. The risk of emphysema dropped 34% for each one unit increase in participants' plant-based diet score, which I don't have details on what that is, but it's in the Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Diseases Journal of the COPD Foundation. So there you go. You got one more reason to quit smoking. No, one more reason to go plant-based if you don't want to quit smoking, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, one more reason to start smoking if you are plant-based, right?
Well, I think it also helped the former smokers. So it's not exclusively smokers who get this benefit. There are no more reasons to start smoking, Doug. We don't want to send that message out. What if your political constituents got wind of you saying that?
That's true. I'm just joking, guys. It was a joke. It was a joke. It was a joke.
It was a joke. Joke from Dr. Doug.
Not a doctor. Not legally.
All right. And the last bit of this is not what I was not counted among the good news, but you might consider it good news. Some people might. Sour Patch Kids and Oreo have formed the Dream Team, the Dream Collaboration, to create a sweet and sour version of the popular vegan cookie. I don't know for sure if these are vegan or not. Couldn't find the ingredients. Look for the ingredients. They said it will resemble the golden Oreo. Have you had a golden Oreo before, Doug?
I have. Yeah. Are they vegan? I have no idea. It's been a long time since I've had one.
Yeah. So anyway, they've got colored fillings based on the Sour Patch flavor they replicate instead of a cream filling. So I don't know if these versions will still be cream or just colored cream or what. But anyway, you can get them at some retail beginning May 6th for a limited time. Are you interested, Doug, in that? You
can't, no, right? I don't. I just don't think a Sour Patch Oreo sounds appealing at all.
doesn't
sounds terrible.
All good. Like any kind of sour and chocolate, they don't go together, do they? Are there sour chocolate? I know there are a lot of bitter chocolate things. But I mean, yeah. You don't think of an orange chocolate sometimes is a thing. So I guess
are there sour, like creamy things? Cause you think of, the filling being kind of creamy, like
yeah, there is that, like key lime pie, lemon meringue pie. Those are
Okay. Things. Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. So that could work, but the chocolate throws it off to me.
Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be a chocolate. It's going to be a golden Oreo, which is like vanilla.
True. It will be golden.
So maybe it's kind of good.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be okay. Why not just pick one or the other? Why, either an Oreo or the Sour Patch. They're both pretty good on their own.
Yeah.
I don't know what the combining would do for either one.
No.
There you go. All right. Two of the feature stories of the day. The first one, I was not going to include this because so Veggie News has an article that says, from taking aim at TikTok's amateur nutritionist to the milk fountain of youth, is Oatly the master of the clapback? And this clapback term I've heard a few times recently, and I don't really like it.
It's not a new term, man.
It's not? No. Well, I hear people saying it suddenly. What it means, like, answering back to somebody.
Yeah, like when someone criticizes you, you criticize them back. Or like you, not criticize them back, but you like snap back.
Ready with a good comeback.
Yeah.
Okay. So snap back I could deal with. Clap back, I don't get it. Whatever. I mean, you're not clapping, right? It's just, you're just talking, you're talking back at them. So I'm not in favor of that term. Anyway, I'm especially not in favor of the article because it basically just glorifies Oatly, their terrible advertising stuff that they do, and makes it seem like this is a good thing that people should celebrate and like, because look at them getting clapping back at those anti-vegan people. So in the story is the story of some booth that Oatly made at some event somewhere. And it's like the Designed for Humans booth. And it's like a big joke. It's just cannot imagine being at that event and seeing this thing and saying what is going on with that? Why is that Oatly's booth? But anyway, what I'm happy about is that this story pointed me to a website called, which I sent you almost immediately. It's fckoatly.com. Right, and that stands for exactly.
I just pulled it up for people.
Okay, good. A time machine of all things bad about an oat drink company. So Oatly has this website, not their main website, but they just have this other website, and I don't know where they link to it or if they ever do or what. But it just covers it's like their wall of shame. It's the worst of the things they've had in their events. So a few of them is. It starts off with Go Feck Yourself, a campaign they launched in Ireland to draw attention, and they fecked themselves. I don't know quite what that means. Then they were banned in Ireland for, I think, this saying, this Designed for Humans thing. Like, unlike milk, it's designed, it's like milk, but it's designed for humans, which actually is a pretty good saying. I like that slogan. But that got them banned temporarily in Ireland, I think.
I think what they're saying is they launched this campaign, and it ended up backfiring because they got banned.
Right. Okay. So in that way they messed up. If it stopped there, if it ended right there, I'd be sort of okay with this, right? They're saying, like, look at these people, look at this meat industry or animal industry. They don't want to hear about us, so they're banning us, and like, look at us, we got banned. That's kind of good. Then it gets into other stuff. Gleebgate. I don't know about that. I didn't know about that. That's where Oatly sued Gleebfarm, makers of Pure Oatly. That was the name of the product. I think it was an oat milk product, Pure Oatly. And Oatly sued them because they said Oatly sounds too much like Oatly, even though Pure Oatly is one word. And there was huge backlash. People saying Oatly is like the Goliath here against this small little Cambridgeshire-based food company, Gleebfarm, makers of Pure Oatly. Massive PR disaster, people said. And they put up all the tweets and things people wrote about how disappointed they were that Oatly would do this. And then, you know, Oatly just goes on to say we eventually lost that lawsuit, which – you know, our lawyers didn't like, because lawyers like to win cases. So that just taught me something that I don't like about Oatly, that they were going after the small company for something called Pure Oatly. You know, someone with the same mission, which I guess you could say a lot of competitors.
Yeah.
Then Residue Ruckus. Listen to this one. And I just don't get what they're doing bragging about this stuff. This one, in 2018, we were taught a really valuable lesson from our most active vegan critics. Don't sell your oat residue to pig farms. So apparently, and they admit this and talk all about it, they show all the comments and response and making light of it all. They're just joking about how this all happened, I guess. They started selling the leftover pulp or whatever from their oat milk to pig farms to be low-cost pig feed for pig farms. And they thought this was okay. And so the vegans were outraged, hated it. And they said, send it to sanctuaries, not farms. And Oatly, I guess, is for some reason proud that they... that they do this stuff. I don't know. I don't get it. And then they just go on and on. And there's more stuff. And eventually they get to these Instagram people or TikTok people and the algorithm and all that. So, I mean, is this funny at all, Doug? I'm just like, what is this company doing?
I kind of like it. I knew you wouldn't like it. I knew it. And I didn't want to ask your opinion until we talked about it live. I mean, it is kind of weird that, like, we had never heard of these. And so now you're kind of bragging about it, but you know, the band in Ireland won, the TikTok controversy won. These controversies where you can like respond with like, I don't know, just spin it into a positive. I think that's a cool way to get on top of these quote unquote scandals, but you know, get on top of the bad press that people are doing about it, and you know, kind of own it and say, yeah, all right, TikTok says we're doing our ingredients aren't good. Like, let's actually look at the ingredients and get on top of this. I like that approach a lot. These, you know, the pig farm one, the lawsuit one. Yeah. And those, I mean, it's hard to say, like, it's hard to see a bright side of those. It seems like pretty bad ones, pretty bad scandals, yeah. But I don't know. I think it's kind of funny.
It's a little funny. Okay. So then it goes on. Please tell me this goes too far for you. At the bottom of that, there's totally hate fckoatly.com. Go to fckoatly.com, which I did because I do totally hate fckoatly.com. And there's a big button there. You can hit to confirm your dislike of it. And I did it. I confirmed my dislike. But then I said, you know what? They probably think this is all these 571,000 people who have clicked this button. They probably think they're all just part of the joke and they all just think it's funny. And that's why they're confirming this thing. I mean, I definitely felt like a curmudgeon clicking the confirm button.
Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are.
So they say you click spam to change anything. Is this funny, Doug? Or is this just like, what are you doing with your advertising time and dollars and marketing? This is a publicly traded company. This isn't just some independent company with like kind of a wacky CEO who thinks this stuff is funny and like just, mm-hmm. you know, lets it happen. Like there are actual shareholders in here who would like, and obviously the company's doing okay. I guess they're okay. I don't know. The share price is down 97% or whatever, but like as far as the industry goes, it seems like they're leading an industry that is doing well.
What happens if you click confirm?
Nothing. Just nothing happened.
Head of the I mean, it's kind of funny. I think it's kind of funny.
Isn't it just too far? It's like, come on, just get back to selling the products and making good oat stuff. And it's like they love themselves too much here for me. I think that's really what it is with a lot of this advertising. It's like it's just so self-indulgent for them to like do this stuff. And it's like becomes about the ads. And it's not clear that this is helping to sell the product at all or even helping the brand at all, unless you're a very specific type of person who thinks these things are funny. I just don't get it. I don't know.
It got us talking, got plant-based news talking. I mean, that helps sell the products, right? And see, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Organizing a boycott against Oatly. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would help sell the products. Like, I'm calling for our audience, please stop buying their products. They're terrible advertising.
Oh, come on, Matt. Come on.
I'm not really doing that. But I do think this makes me want to buy the products less. I'm like, it's just too much. It's just like they're too full of themselves. I just don't want to be part of that.
I don't like, it doesn't offend me at all. It doesn't bother me at all. Like, I don't feel that way at all. And you know, so what I was kind of saying, and I think this is what you were saying, whether it helps to sell the products or not. You know, like, I think getting on top of the TikTok stuff, because they are getting a lot of bad press on TikTok.
Yeah.
Getting on top of that.
Yeah, in front of that. And it's good to be able to make lettuce stuff. Like there's that famous ad that stores put on the blackboard out in front of the restaurant that has a bad review, like the worst ramen I ever ate. And it's that one guy on Yelp or whatever. I think that's kind of funny. And if it was real, especially, it's like good for the company to be able to kind of poke fun at that. But like they don't apologize for giving the stuff to the pigs, selling the stuff to the pig. They just say it happened and put all these nasty comments about them.
Yeah. And if they could have, and I didn't read the, did you read the article about the pigs? Like what they wrote about it?
Yeah.
Okay. So did they do anything good in return? Like, you know, I mean, you could take something that could get bad press and then use it as an opportunity to talk about how you've changed your systems or your outlook or something like that. Did they do that?
Yes, they do say that. And I didn't read it closely, but I did skim it. They said, what else can we do with all our oat residue? They started thinking, they got lots of ideas. They decided to go in a different direction. In the end, they began to develop prototypes for a new line of oat-based food made entirely from the byproducts. So they did that, and it does not involve pigs. Apparently they had thought about doing a sanctuary, but they said no sanctuary could handle the capacity of their stuff. Mm. But you know what? I'm sure a dump can handle the capacity of a lot of your stuff. So like, it's like they can't pay us for the stuff. So I think they were kind of sugarcoating that a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd love to know what other people think about this, whether they're as offended or turned off as you are.
Offended says isn't it, a word. I'm not offended by this, right? I'm just turned off. It's just they're too full of themselves.
Kate says it doesn't offend me, but doesn't make me want to buy their products either.
Mr. Neil also says you don't want to buy their products in the first place. I don't know if he means I don't, because I actually think goat milk is pretty good. I don't drink it or anything, but like I like it in coffee or whatever I might use oat milk for.
Mm-hmm. Matt O'Connor says Oatly taking the no such thing as bad press to a new level.
Yeah, they really are. If I were in charge of this company, I think like, yeah, it's not as funny to the people who really get it, but like, just don't put the really, really awful things in you. Not really awful, but the things that are embarrassing for you that people probably didn't know about, like put the ban in Ireland, put the TikTok thing, talk about this bad press and how you're like on the right side of it. I just don't know what's the point of bringing up this stuff that you, these big mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of with you on that.
All right, so there you go. There's Oatly at it again, doing what they do. I mean, this is really a big thing. It kind of started as us like not liking some of their ads as a joke, and then
I was kind of hoping that we were going to be on there.
I doubt we're on their radar.
Bad press. But, no, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be fun if they, I mean, given that they like to do this stuff, glorify haters, it'd be great if they would like sponsor us for being such avid haters of their advertising. If you want it, we could send us money. We could just keep doing it. We could do even more of it. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. All right. Mr. Jeffrey says, Matt has no time for comments today. I don't know. I don't know what kind of comments are going on.
Yeah, you haven't even given everybody a shout out for being here.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. I forgot to do that today. I'm off because of being sick, I guess. Well, hello to the top few. Britters, Allie, Garuda Legends, Kate, Matt O'Connor, Mr. Jeffrey, Kelly K, Anne-Marie, Dale Stevens, Leslie Knight. Then they start repeating. So I'll stop there. Okay. So there we go. The other thing we have is the headlining story today. This one's interesting. It is a company called Climax. Doug, have you ever heard of this? Climax cheese. They make, in this case, a blue cheese.
I have not heard of it, but it did sound a little bit familiar.
Yeah. So the headline from the Washington Post is a vegan cheese beat dairy in a big competition. Then the plot curdled. And it's a very long article relative to what we usually do here. The very short version is that the Good Food Awards is a prestigious honor, considers both quality of the products and environmental and social consciousness of the companies that produce them. It sounds like it's kind of a foodie thing. Anyway, Climax entered their blue cheese in this contest. Theirs is made from pumpkin seeds, lima beans, hemp seeds, coconut fat, and cocoa butter. And in a blind tasting, the plant-based cheese was named as a finalist. So that seemed like a pretty big deal, pretty good thing. Then it turned out that in the time between now and then the time between, or when that happened and when the award is actually to be given, they turned out they disqualified Climax Blue. And they did so on the grounds that they had something in their product that was not an FDA generally recognized as safe, the GRAS certification, or GRAS designation that the FDA gives, which is not really a problem because apparently a lot of ingredients, like this one in particular, cocum butter, which is derived from the seeds of a cocum tree's fruit, they are in some way grandfathered in to being okay to sell in this country, at least, even if they don't have the certification. But somehow if they were before, you know, the rule came along, they're allowed to keep it. So they use this product, but they claim this product was in an old thing. It's not in the current version of it, not in the one that was tasted and became a finalist. And then they also say, it turns out the cheese companies actually knew who the winner was going to be. They were told who would win, and they just were sworn to secrecy, I guess. It turns out Climax was actually ready to win the award. They were going to beat all these dairy companies in the goat cheese. I guess it was the goat cheese category. I'm not sure if they were against other, not sorry, blue cheeses. I don't know if they were against other blue cheeses or if they were just against cheeses in general, but they were going to win. And it was, and then, so like, it's just this kind of scandal. The people at this company, Zahn is the main guy at Climax, And he, you know, he says this is kind of an outrage. If he were the CEO of this organization, he would step down from the company that has removed them from the competition. You know, and they changed the rule apparently. Like in this intervening period, they actually added a rule that said all ingredients have to be GRAS certified. And they did that to eliminate this company. Didn't get in touch with them or anything to find out that they don't even use that anymore, he claims. So I don't know, kind of a big deal in this foodie cheese world, I think. It seems like it. Good news for plant-based cheese. But what do you think? I mean,
it sounds like one detail you left out is that plant-based cheeses have been entered into this competition for a while now, but they've never become a finalist. Like, it's a big deal for a plant-based cheese to become a finalist. And it wasn't because they, you know, never made it that far. No one's really cared, but it wasn't until they became a finalist and then rumor started spreading that they were, you know, really being considered for the win that someone wrote an article about it. And then the cheese industry, the animal cheese industry, got all up in arms and started making a fuss about this. And then they went back and changed the rules and disqualified them and removed them. And
right.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of messy. It really does seem like there was a real, you know, like some deception going on here and real controversy if you care about this.
Yeah, for sure. The changing the rules after the finalists have been announced, that seems like the one that is the biggest problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not the product actually had this in it, although that's another issue. But that's also though, like if there was any uncertainty about what was in the product, that's kind of maybe on the company, but maybe there wasn't any uncertainty and this is just an old thing that somebody dug up, which is no longer even applies. Anyway. Yeah. So it's a weird thing. I guess it's upsetting a little bit, but it doesn't matter to me because this just means it's only a matter of time. And this is great news because it is the plant-based cheese has lagged for a long time. And everyone likes to make fun of how bad the plant-based cheeses are. The artisan ones really aren't that bad. But we still haven't seen any that have just like, you know, blown our socks off and been like, this is amazing. So I don't know. I mean, in the end, consumers aren't going to care about, they'll care about what's in the product. But like if it's totally within the laws to sell it in the US and all that, and obviously they can, well, it sounds like they can make it without that anyway. You know, it's only a matter of time till this is competing on taste with real cheese. And, you know, there will be more of these contests in the future where the rules will be laid out ahead of time and all this stuff. So this doesn't really concern me as far as a big blow to plant-based cheese. In fact, it's almost a positive that they have to go change the rules to make sure this can't win.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. The fact that there's a cheese that would make it to become a finalist, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, what's your take? Should they even be a part of this competition, or is a cheese competition, should that automatically exclude plant-based cheeses?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I did say, like, they called it a blind tasting, but they also refer to some of the judges' notes later. And, you know, one of them said, for example, very impressive for being vegan, but obviously plant-based was one judge's written comment. So that judge knew that it was vegan and plant-based and also says, but obviously plant-based. So they're, I think, counting that as against them. That it, you know, it does clearly taste different from the others. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what to make of that. But then there was an interesting discussion later on, like they got to start talking about different cheese people and different, you know, old school cheese makers and things. And they're saying, this is like a fraudulent product. Like it's a fake, like this isn't a real thing. Like you can, it's fine if you can make it taste and look and everything just like cheese, but it's not the real thing. And you and I were talking about this earlier with fake coffee. And I think you were on this side, the same side as I was, saying like, you kind of want like that story, like that this came from the ground and the farmer and the stuff that goes with it that makes it have its character. And that's the case when it comes to coffee. And it's just the artificial thing or the, you know, I guess artificial, even made from natural things. It just doesn't sound quite the same. Even though I think we were talking in that case about lab grown coffee, which is also on the table. And we said that, I don't know, loses something. So I do get where he's coming from. The response though from Zahn from Climax to this was, he was saying the cow is basically just a big processor. Like we're starting with the same stuff, not identical stuff, but the cow is eating stuff at the beginning and then its body processes it very inefficiently and makes milk. And then that milk goes to the next step of processing, which is to turn it into cheese. And that's obviously many steps. And his argument is they're just skipping the cow here. They're still starting with calories and actual foods. and they're just putting it through their processing. Now, I don't know that much details about their processing or what it looks like and how much different that stage looks like, where the cow would be there, what's happening instead. But I thought that was an interesting point. Like, and it made me rethink the coffee thing. Like, I don't know, like nature is just a complicated form of processing, and it's still the same scientific stuff happening. If we can replicate that same stuff, do we really care that it's not real anymore? And then of course, you know, none of this is getting into the fact of what is wrong about the dairy industry, the reason that I don't eat dairy.
Yeah.
So like that makes it a pretty easy decision, obviously, for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
As soon as you take out so putting ethics and all that and even health aside, just looking at, you know, what is cheese and what is a cheese competition? And you know, for me, similar to what you're saying about coffee, I have no problem calling plant-based cheese cheese. I think, you know, what is cheese? I mean, like, to me, you know, there's different ways, it can come from different animals, come from different plants. Like, to me, like, you can call that cheese. If it looks like cheese, it tastes like cheese, it spreads like cheese, whatever, it cuts like cheese, then it can be cheese. But I also think that, you know, in the same way that you have, I guess, like, different art competitions or singing competitions where you would group people into genres and categories and things like that. Like, a cheese competition could be an animal-based cheese competition, and then you could have a plant-based cheese. You could have a goat cheese or a cow cheese, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I have no problem with like excluding plant-based cheeses from whatever this competition is, even though I don't know anything about it. But at the same time, I think a plant-based cheese can be referred to as a cheese and be considered a cheese for the exact reasons that they're arguing about it, how it's just kind of reprocessing in a different way.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think they're always going to know what the best in show is. So at some point, even if you've got different categories,
yeah,
there's no reason they can't compete against each other in some broader thing. And even if someone says they're no longer all counted as cheeses, they can still compete, right, and we can say which one tastes best in a blind tasting. So I don't know. People are saying, well, Garuda, not surprising, and Gregory Green as well, basically saying vegan cheese are not good, dreadful. Garuda says nothing will taste better than goat's cheese and sharp cheddar cheese. I don't know if I believe that anymore, that nothing will. I think a few years ago, I would have said, yeah, like it's hard to imagine plant-based cheese ever tasting the same as those. But since precision fermentation has come along, things taste different than they used to me, to my taste buds, like the ice cream and all the things that are made from, you know, what is essentially molecularly the same as whey protein. I can't really say that like science isn't going to one day find ways to make the exact same molecules that are in the cheese and just make them with precision fermentation or whatever and make an identical product to that. And like, I don't know. You can give me a different reason why that's, you know, maybe unhealthy or something, which I wouldn't necessarily believe without more evidence. But it's going to taste identical. It's going to be exactly the same. And I think the same is going to happen with meats and whatever else. So I don't know. To me, to be denying that kind of sounds like, you know, the music industry saying that MP3 players and Apple and all that isn't going to disrupt them, or, you know, whatever happened to the book industry and the TV, right? All these big things that just get entrenched in their thing and say, well, this, nothing's going to ever replace this thing because this is the way the world is and nothing can ever replace that. That it's all going to get turned over for sure. Like I said, people still might want to avoid it because they'll say it's not natural. And that is going to be a question to deal with. But I think the taste is not going to be a factor soon.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. What happens if everything, if advertising and marketing switches entirely to the Uli model? What are you going to do then, Matt?
Gosh, I don't know. Move to a different planet or something somehow. That's what I
think. Just quit consuming any sort of media.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Boycott all products. Just start growing my own food.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's end this by saying Gregory Green says, will depend on the judge's taste buds. For me, I've never had vegan cheese that comes close to sharp cheddar. I don't think it will depend on the judge's taste buds. So I agree with you there. I haven't had anything either that comes close to the real thing. But in this case, we just had something that did, right? This blue cheese must have tasted very similar or better than a lot of the competitors. And I would imagine the competitors were high quality versions of this stuff. So that's now. What about in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? It's impossible for me to believe that it's going to eventually come down to individual. I mean, sure, it always depends on individual taste buds, but it's not just going to be some idiosyncratic judge who says, well, the plant-based one's better. it's going to get to the point where it's the same. I'm not saying it'd be better, but it's going to get to the point where it's the same. And there will be other reasons people want to avoid the cheese, and that's fine. I get it. But I don't know. You're a science denier if you say it's not going to be the same soon.
Whoa. Some big words there. Matt clapping back.
That's right. Clap back. Jessica says I'd have to go outside to grow my own food. So that actually does ruin my plan of...
Just convince Aaron to do it for you.
All right, Karuda now making my very point. He says, I want God's cheese, not fake lab cheese made by man, naturals, not from a lab. There we go. See, we move past the taste thing. Once that's out of the way, and we'll find the new thing, the new reason why we don't want it. And I'm not saying it's not valid. I understand that is what will happen, but that's what's going to happen. We're going to get past the taste. We're going to get past the cost, and it's going to be a new one. And then,
I mean,
I don't know. I don't know if we'll get over that one.
There's so many issues with that statement, right? I mean, like, cheese is made by man. Right? The cheese doesn't just come from
God,
the earth.
The animal's not making the cheese. I don't know if
the
animal's
not making the cheese. cheese is man-made there, Garuda.
But I know Garuda doesn't like the lab foods, and we must admit that these plant foods are, a lot of them made in labs. I don't know how many, but we will see. All right. There we go. That's enough of that for the day. Time for us to go, Doug, rest our voices, and be back tomorrow.
That's right. Look forward to it. Can't wait. Another controversy, I hope.
Yeah. We will see. All right. Well, thanks everyone for the comments. Always appreciate all the viewpoints, including the ones that I don't agree with. I really do appreciate that you are here expressing them, making for good conversation instead of echo chamber. We do not want echo chamber situation. That's not good. So, and a ton of comments today. I apologize that I did not get to all of them nearly, but very nice. Nice job with all the conversation.
We got some good ones coming in here. All right. Thanks, everybody. We will see you tomorrow.
All right. Bye.